Colossians chapter 3. We're going to continue, wrap up, I should say, our series here. We've been going through messages in the month of November talking about our gratitude adjustment. Good? Gratitude adjustment. And thinking about it, so often if you're like me, I need a gratitude adjustment. And thinking about what I fail to thank God for, Colossians chapter 3, if you will. I want you to notice this. We read this a few weeks ago. But just to highlight and touch on, he says there, if you will, in verse 15, Colossians 3:15, he says, "And let the peace of God," thank you, "let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." The next one, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Notice verse 17, though. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed," whatever you talk about, whatever you do, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now we'll stop there because the next verse says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Okay, that's for another week. But we think about today our gratitude and our attitude. I think about the fellow that went to the doctor one day. And he was complaining to the doctor, said, "Doctor, everything in my body hurts." He says, "Well, tell me, show me." He says, "Well, my arm hurts." Oh, my arm. And he points down to his knee. "Oh, my knee hurts." "What about the other knee?" He points to the other knee. "Oh, that knee hurts." "Oh, my back hurts." And he points to his neck. "Oh, my neck hurts. My head hurts." And the doctor looked at him for a minute and said, "Hang on a second. Give me your hand." Gave him his hand. He looked at his index finger, was broken. Everything he touched hurt. Our perspective on things sometimes is off, isn't it? Or the other fellow that was walking around and he walked into work one day and said, "Good, not this place stinks." He got in his car and said, "Man, this place stinks." Got home, "Honey, this house stinks." She said, "Honey, I think you got some leftover cheese in your mustache or something." We're not careful. We get that kind of a spirit and attitude and realize, hang on, there's a common denominator here. It's me. My attitude, my gratitude is not where it should be. Now, we've been looking at this for the last 3 weeks, and I thank you for being faithful to our Sunday morning service. But thinking about now this morning, am I being grateful for all that God has done? Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans 1, 21, a very familiar verse to all of us. But note it says, "Because that when they knew God." Now think about, dissect this verse for a minute. You know everybody knows God. Everybody knows God. You go to the deepest part of a jungle somewhere and they have some name of some deity, right, of God. Now they don't know the specifics quite yet, and that's why we have our missionaries. They knew God. They glorified Him not as God. Here it is. Neither were thankful, but, or became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do you know it starts with an ungrateful heart? Now, this verse, this whole context here of chapter 1 goes on to talk about these people that deviate. By the way, it starts with an ungrateful heart. You know God, don't glorify Him as God, I don't acknowledge you as God. The psalmist says what? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's no God. Now, what's the Bible say? You're a fool. You're another word I won't use, okay? You don't know that. Now, think about it. This verse later in Romans 1 talks about the degradation or dissension or whatever you want to call it, downward, all the way down into homosexual behavior, a perversion, right, of pleasure. Now, that's where we are today in America. But you back up and you talk about this, it comes back to an ungrateful heart. Thank you. No, thank you. I don't glorify Him as God. Do you believe in God? I've said this so many times. I don't know how many times. I wish I could count. I should write it down. How many times I've said to somebody, "Sir, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?" And what do they respond with? Can we know? Can we know? I don't think any of us really know if that's true. I mean, I don't know that. And I try to explain to them the Bible. I say, here's what the Bible says. Well, that's your opinion. That's what you believe. See, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe Jesus. I had one fellow. I don't believe Jesus was a real person. I think He was made up by the church. And you try to walk through the Bible, they won't listen, will they? But thinking about it, coming back to you, I'm not thankful for what God has done. I'm not thankful for who He is. And what happens? They become vain in their imaginations. You know what the word vain means? Self-centered. The fastest growing religion today in America is humanism. I make myself my own God. That's why our young people are having premarital sex and relations. You know why? Because they're their own God. That's why our younger people in college and other places are messing around when they shouldn't be and playing around. That's why our middle-aged people are not where they should be morally and other things. Why? Because we become our own God. If I feel it's right and it's okay, then it's okay. No, this is what the Bible says. And sir, young man, young woman, you'll answer for that. The Hebrew says the bed is undefiled. Marriage is holy. It's honorable. Bed undefiled. Whoremongers, God will judge. It's not might judge, will judge. Okay. Now that goes for all of us. I'm just pinpointing one example. You and I understand, come back to this. Listen, God will judge us for the things we do. If we don't follow the book, if we don't stay close to the book, what happens? They become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart is darkened. By the way, the more you reject God, the darker it gets. The Bible says their conscience is seared with a hot iron. You remember, can you hear me in the back? You fine? Okay. Searing is what? When you sear or brand cattle, it creates a callus. Scar tissue has no feeling. You can flip it, hit it, cut it, has no feeling. He says their conscience is seared now. They have no more feeling. So they do all kinds of deviant, nasty things, and they have no feeling. Don't bother me any. How can you do that to a little child? That's my preference. How can you do that to a person? Don't bother me any. Why? Their foolish heart is darkened. It's a progressive thing as they go along. Now, thinking about this, are we grateful? It goes all the way back to my heart being grateful for who He is. Giving thanks to God is very important. An unthankful heart is a vain heart. An unthankful heart is a puffed up heart. An unthankful heart is a foolish heart. We know that. We know a child of God has been changed. And now we have much to thank God. Ephesians 5:20 talks about giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus, on several occasions, rebuked people. Because why? They were ungrateful. I told the story last week about those lepers. He healed a bunch of the lepers and they all ran away. Praise God! We're healed! Yeah! And that's the average person today. They want to get anything Jesus will give them. Fix my marriage, fix our debt, get us out of debt, help us, heal me from cancer, please keep our kids safe at school, don't let them get leukemia. And when God does all of that, praise God. But when everything falls apart, where are we at? That's for me. Where are we at? And the one leper turned around, he stopped mid-track, he turned around and thought a minute. He came back to Jesus and basically said, thank you. And Jesus said, weren't there others? Where are the others at? Where are they at? So many today, we use Jesus like that as a spare tire. We only get Him out when we need Him. Philippians 4:6, He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Think about that. He says, don't worry about things. With your prayer ought to be coupled with thanksgiving. Lord, would You please guide us? Would You please provide? But Lord, I also want to say thank You for where we are. Lord, would You please help us and fix our vehicle? It's not running well. But Lord, thank You for even giving us a vehicle. Lord, would You help us here and there? It's coupled with thanksgiving, and you know that. Okay, I must hasten here. We're to thank God for the good things. We're to thank God for the bad things. We're to thank God, as we said a few weeks ago, He says, in everything, my present position. God has provided the unspeakable gift of salvation. God has given to all of us. I pray today that you're saved. I truly do. There's a song we have sung before, but heaven came down and glory filled my soul. God did a wonderful work in your life. And by the way, it's nothing that we did. We know that. And nothing my soul did, nothing that I did, I worked for it. It was Jesus Christ and Him alone and the free gift that was given to me. And thank God that somebody came your way and gave you that. Presented to you the gospel. Somebody cared enough to present to you the gospel. A pastor, a brother, a sister, a friend, maybe even a child, I don't know, came and said, hey, daddy, hey, mama, hey, brother, hey, friend, here's the gospel. Thank God for those people. And by the way, that's your job before you die, before we breathe our last breath on this old dusty earth and the little pathetic life that some of us have lived. Your job is to propagate that truth to the next generation, and shame on us so often for not doing that. The next generation, you've heard it before, we're one generation away from extinction as Christianity as a whole. One generation. If one generation fails to propagate the truth to the next one, we're going. Now, we know the end result. The Bible already tells us what's going to happen. That man of sin, the Antichrist, will come to power and all of that. But we think about now, are we thankful? Do you realize today, have you ever thought about this? You thank God you were not born into a Jehovah Witness home? You thank God today you were not born into the Mormons, Mormonism? We had two Mormon boys knock on our door this week, and I wasn't home. Every time my wife called me, hey, the Mormon boys came and knocked on the door. And I said, ah, honey, hold them there. Okay, can you wait just a minute? My husband will be here in about 10 minutes. And by the way, they'll wait. Oh boy, I've talked to them before for an hour. They love to come in. If you want to come in and have a cup of coffee? Well, sure. And by the way, they're like 15 and it says elder. I love that. Elder James or something. You're like 14. How are you an elder? I thought about that. Oh, man. I wanted to talk to him. But again, I've talked to him before. I talked to the Jehovah Witnesses, come knocking on the door. And you can go round and round and round for hours and never get anywhere. Because they're right, right? They're right. I know I'm right. I know the gospel. I know the word of God. And you can go round and round with them. Now think about this. Aren't you thankful today you weren't born into that pagan cult, those pagan religions today, and you're not a fourth, fifth, sixth generation Mormon? Praise God for that. Now, I know that you're shaking your head and you're nodding and praising God for that, but some of you don't understand how desperate these people are. You don't understand just how wicked these religions, so-called religions, are. Now, I refer to them as a cult, and you may be offended by that, but that's okay. These are cults. When they deny Jesus Christ, when they call my Jesus the brother of Satan, I want nothing to do with these people. Now, I want to see him saved. I want to share the gospel with. I don't want nothing to do with them. The Bible says repeatedly, Paul says on two occasions at least, you should have nothing to do with that. Don't wish him. John said, don't give him Godspeed, meaning God bless, have a good day. You say, listen, sir, you're wrong. But think about it. Where are you today when you think about your gratitude? Thank God. Do you realize today there's people lost in the most wicked, wicked religions? You go today to Bangladesh, you go today to India, any part of India. You go today to Thailand, you go today to any of these places like this that are stooped in false religion. They take when their little daughter hits puberty, they take their 12, 13-year-old little girl, and their duty as a father. By the way, this is what they're doing as a father, pleasing their God, is to bring their little girl to the temple and leave her there as a prostitute for these sick, twisted old men to come in and do whatever they want to do. Now, think about that. You think I'm being a little bit weird about that. I'm not. You know these things. You know this. You grateful to be an American? Amen. You grateful to be here today? Do you realize I won't say the name because we can't say it because we're recording right now? One of our missionaries, if they were to be found out by a neighbor that they were meeting together with just two people meeting together talking about the Bible, they would be immediately arrested, their visas would be revoked, and they would be kicked out of the country immediately. There's no trial, there's nothing. Immediately. That's the law, that's the rule. And so therefore, they go around and they tell people about the Lord, but they're very cautious and careful. And they have a little handful of people that they meet with. And they meet together in one of their houses, and they get together, and they say, now everybody's going to be quiet. What can wash away my sin? And then you always have that little old lady that likes to sing real loud. I'm being silly, but that's what they do. They have to whisper. It doesn't fire up rich, but praise God. No, he's got to preach real. Okay, let's think about it. The Lord loves us all. Praise God. Why? Because their neighbor will come in, and they're liable, some of them, to execute them right on the spot. I mean, start swinging a machete at them. I'm telling you today, you think about what we have today in America. Sometimes people can't even get up on Sunday to come to church because they're too tired. Some of these things like this, I can't really make it. I only live 5 miles from the church, but I can't make it. Not today. We don't feel very good. How many things do we have to be thankful for? Think about our church. Thank God for a church. Thank God for a church building. So many of our missionaries, I've said this before, one of them, they meet under a tree on Sunday mornings. A tree, come, don't matter the weather. And they live in a very rainy, monsoon area of the world. Thank God for where you live. You know this. You can go down to just today, take about a four-hour drive. You could get down there and get back by this evening. But go down to El Paso, Texas, and drive along the I-10 and just look over. There's a giant black fence up. And about 100 yards over there is Mexico. You ever been down there? You ever looked over that fence? Utter poverty. These people have nothing. Cinder block walls with a piece of sheet metal over the top of it. That's 100 yards, and they stare. We drove by, and there's kids just standing at the fence like this. Thank God for what we have today. So many of us, if you're like me, don't thank God. Talked to a dear friend this week, dying of leukemia. Talked to a family a while back. Their husband, no more than 40 years old, was killed. Little kids still in the home, trying to figure out what to do next. You go to the hospital, and we were there just recently. You go to the third floor of UNM Hospital, is the children's pediatrics. And you walk in there, and there's a line of kids standing there with their little IV, and they have a circular walkway. They walk the floor like this, down and back up. There's a line of them, and all of them have no hair. All of them have cancer, walking with their IVs. And those families spend all the money they have and everything that they have just to get that little baby healthy. And Lord willing, it'll work. Lord willing, that cancer will get out of that body, but not all the time. You know what I'm saying today. You thank God today for what we have to eat, for the food we have, for the running water we have. The water, so many places, 3/4 of the world, 75% of the world today does not have clean running water. The water they pump up out of the ground is dirty. Sometimes it's soiled. Sometimes the sewer system of that place runs right with the water that they drink, and they have to take and boil it and other things. Oh, how many things do we have to be thankful for? Pardon me for preaching to myself a little bit. We have the unspeakable gift of salvation. Now think about this. Not only that, but I mentioned this last week. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, present tense, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. We have the victory today. We have the victory now. I wish more people would understand that. Well, one day, brother, we'll have the victory. We live all this world. Oh, it's so painful, it's so hard, and yeah, it is. But you have the victory today, sir. You have to live like a victor. A victor doesn't walk around with hunched over, bottom lip dragging the ground. I don't know what we're going to do next. You have the victory. People look at us and ask, what is it? Why do you have what you have? Is it even worth becoming a Christian if that's the way it is? No. We have victory today. We have victory over Satan. We have victory over sin. And we've covered that last week. We're thankful, though, also, let me cover this and we'll wrap it up. We're to be thankful for the bad things. Thanksgiving is something of a sacrifice. Notice Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. Notice, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, Thanksgiving is a sacrifice. It really is. You ever tried to thank God when you're going through a bad season? You ever tried to thank God at about 4 o'clock in the morning? You ever tried to thank God? Some of you, we were talking this morning, and you got very little sleep last night. And I said this morning, I woke up real early. And I thought, yes, I got up early. Praise the Lord. But I made the mistake of sitting down and closing my eyes. And then I thought I was praying, and no, I wasn't praying. Oh, and you think about it, and then you hate when you wake up and you got the line on your face or something, or you could tell you just woke up. And it's a sacrifice to thank God. Now remember, we're called in Romans 12 to be a living sacrifice. If you walk around, you're not a dead sacrifice, okay? You're not laid out on the altar with your hands tied. and your throat slit as a real sacrifice would be. You're a living sacrifice. Therefore, we walk continually as a sacrifice. We walk, as he says here in Hebrews 13, as a continual sacrifice. It's not easy to do. But if you will take the step of faith forward, even when you don't want to say it, and you just say, Lord, thank you. But then you say, well, my heart isn't in it. I'm not really thankful. I'm just saying it. But that's the first step, see. If you just say it, that's a step of faith. You say it, step of faith. And some of us may not know what we're thankful for, but I'd encourage you this week to sit down and write out some things. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Begin by thanking God for His goodness. Psalm 27:13, he says, I had fainted. I'd given up. I'd quit. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Even in the midst of trials and suffering, God's goodness is always there. God's goodness. You may have read stories like Corrie Ten Boom and others that endured the concentration camps. And she wrote in her story, her biography that she wrote about some of that in the midst of sitting in a concentration camp, watching her loved ones literally be murdered and taken away from them, she got together and she began to thank God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It transformed her thinking. It transformed everything that she was. Remember God, though, secondly, under this point of thanking God for the bad things, that remember God is strictly supervising everything in your life. For we know in Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Again, we may not see it, even in our own lifetime. Hebrews 11 talks about this. The Hall of Fame of Faith, we call it. A lot of these characters in this list of people never even got to see God's goodness, never even got to see all that God did. They waited and waited and waited. They died before some of these things took place. And know this. One, I want to say this. He may be correcting us if we're going through something difficult. You know that. The chastening hand of God is nothing to mock or laugh at. It's very serious. If He is, then you turn and repent and turn back to Him. Two, He may be glorifying Christ through us. For Peter says that in 1 Peter 4:12. He may be glorifying Christ through us. Do you know that when you're in prosperity, nobody looks and goes, praise God. Wow, look what God is doing. Now, some people may say, you know, wow, that's great. God's blessed them. But usually, 9 times out of 10, if you're living in prosperity, nobody says, wow, praise the Lord. What do? They go, must be nice. But when you walk around or you drive a piece of junk car, hand-me-down suits, Goodwill suits, ties that you pick up at the thrift store, people go, oh, wow, bless their heart. Praise the Lord. But they never do anything. They just say that. You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now think about it. When you're in prosperity, not a lot of people praise God for that. Notice 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, he's talking to the church. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, how would you like your pastor to tell you that? You're about ready to be tried with the fiery trial. Now, don't think it strange. Don't get upset. Okay, everyone's going, huh? I don't want to go through that. As though some strange thing happened unto you. Do you know what happens when I go through a fiery trial in life? I think some strange things happen to me, right? I mean, good Lord, why? What did I do? I've been in church. I've been doing everything you want me to do. What did I do wrong? Peter says, don't think that way, but rejoice. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers, notice this, of Christ's sufferings, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, we are to identify with Christ. That's a part of Christianity I don't like. I would rather not, Lord. I'd rather not identify. I said this on Wednesday evening, but Isaiah 53 talks about Jesus Christ, and it's a great prophecy of His forecoming suffering. And what's it talk about? He was a man acquainted with grief. That means daily He dealt with grief. You think you have bad days? Jesus Christ, from the moment He was born to the moment He hung on that cross, every day was a tough day. They mocked Him. They made fun of Him daily. They spit at Him when He walked by. They called His mother all kinds of names. They called His father all kinds of names. And then eventually they would hang Him on a cross. Peter says, we're to identify with Him. Don't think it's strange, easy to preach, hard to live. Remember, God is strictly supervising your life. Anything that comes across your life has to come across the desk of God first. It's either permitted by God or it's ordained by God. Remember that. That's hard for people to understand. It's hard for a hard pill to swallow because people go, Lord, why would the Lord allow that? Why would God allow that in my life? Again, we're identifying with Him. Paul would later say that I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. Fellowship. Can I say we need to fix our attention on Him rather than circumstances? You know that. Rather than the circumstances. Peter got out of that boat. He said, Lord, in His great zeal. By the way, nothing wrong with having zeal for God. Nothing wrong with getting excited about doing something for God. And say, man, I want to do that, but I don't know if that would be right to do. You always seek counsel. You always seek spiritual counsel in that decision. But don't let that zeal that you get stirred up to do something for God. It's not Satan that's stirring you up. Okay, you know that. It's the Holy Spirit getting you excited, trying to get you stirred up. And Peter said, Lord, let me come out on the water. And Jesus said, now hush up now, son. You're not mature enough yet. What's He say? Come on out. Come on out. Come. He got up out the boat and all his friends and brothers, James and John, and all of them are going, you crazy man, what are you doing, man? And he jumps out onto the water and he's walking. And he's having a good old time, and I don't know how many steps he took. The Bible doesn't say, but he probably took about 4 or 5 steps. And then he saw the waves and the wind and everything around him, and he took his eyes off the Lord, didn't he? And he began to sink. And I love the story because he says 2 words. He didn't say, Lord of heaven and earth, I call upon thee today. And what's he say? Help, Lord! Help! And Jesus comes over, reaches down, grabs him by the hand, and lifts him up. And he says, wherefore didst thou doubt? O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. We need to focus our attention back on God rather than our circumstances. How am I thankful, Brother Tim? How can I be thankful? Focus on Him. You know this story, but the nation of Israel out in the middle of the wilderness, they got out there and they started to look around and they started to get discouraged. They started to get angry. And you remember we read this, but they said, boy, we remember the melons and the leeks and the onions and we remember all the good stuff that we had, but they forgot they were slaves. See, they forgot they were out in the wilderness with God Almighty. They forgot that they were God's chosen people. And may we never forget who we are. May we never forget that we have God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. It's easy to forget. Look at God. Keep your focus on Him and stop worrying about nonsense. Kids, get off social media. Ladies, get off social media. I know it's fun. I know I enjoy thumbing through stuff and looking at stuff, but we got to be careful because it always pushes us to compare ourselves with other people. These movies that are constantly coming out. What is it? It's always getting us to want more. And it's fantasy, by the way. Boy, I wish I could fly like that. Nobody's flying, okay. I wish I had pixie dust. That don't happen that way. I wish I could find my knight in shining armor, come in on a white horse, and none of that's going to happen. You realize that we come back and say, you know what? Let me come back to reality. I said this so many times. This book right here is the number one agent of change for a human being, this book. Nothing else will change you. Not TBN, not Guy on TV, I'm sorry. They won't change it. This book right here. This book. Why? Because it's reality. This is reality. This is the only book in all of human history, the only source in all of human history that's reality. Everything else is fantasy. The book or written material that is next to, not even next to it, it pales in comparison to the number of copies sold would be the works of Shakespeare. Shakespeare's make-believe. Shakespeare's not reality. Shakespeare is pre-Hollywood. That's what it's just Hollywood, repackaged. Here's the book that's reality. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's talking to you. You better get right. God is working. God will return. All of the things we know that to be true of the Bible and the Word of God, all of the doctrine, all of the theology, all that we have, this book will straighten you out quicker than anything else. And so many people of me, myself, and I live in an alternate reality daily. Can I give you just a few things here and we'll be done? This thankfulness keeps us aware of His presence. which helps me to live a godly life. Thankfulness to God keeps me aware of His presence. Thank you, Lord. Well, He's near. You get away from God, which you never do. He's omnipresent, but we in our, again, alternate reality thinking, think we get away from God. We're not. He's still there. When you acknowledge Him and thank Him, you acknowledge His presence. Helps us live a godly lifestyle. You know if He's around, if He's watching, if He's near, you want to live right. Can I say second that this motivates us to look for His purpose in everything that happens? Lord, what are You trying to teach me? You ever been there? Lord, what are You trying to show me? What are You trying to tell me? I want to know. I want to know what to do. What are You trying to tell me? I was trying to split wood this week. Bad idea, but I tried it. And I try to do it every once in a while just to get out there and act like, feel like I'm a man or something. I don't know. And I even have one of those red flannel shirts. You know, I put that on. Yeah, all right. Well, I got a big old maul, you know, boom. And I'm swinging it. And man, I was splitting it good. And then I hit one with a knot, you know, the one. And it just bounced off. Ba-bink, and hit me right in the foot. Luckily, I had on some good boots, but it's boom. And my wife's like, you all right out there? I'm fine. You know, just good. Give me a minute. Now, where was I going with that? I don't know. Look for what is God doing in everything in my life. Maybe He had me hit my foot so that I would stop for a minute and not have a heart attack or something. I don't know. But you look for that, right? I mean, seriously. Read the story of a fellow who was driving down the road. He got a flat tire and he pulled off to the road. And he was so mad. He was kicking his tire. Come on, Lord, right now I'm trying to get to work, all this and that. Finally got his tire changed, kept going down the road, and just up ahead at the intersection, there was a fatal car accident. And he thought about it. He said, man, could have been me. Could have been me. You know, I don't know what it is that God's doing in your life, but you ought to thank Him. God, I don't understand it all, but I thank You. Why? Because I trust You. I know You're in control. I know my best interests are in mind when You work. Thirdly, this helps me submit to His will. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of something that you're going through, you may not feel grateful, but we go ahead and express it anyways. We're saying, Lord, I want You to work. I want Your will to be done. Can I also say, it keeps us mindful of our dependence upon Him. When you and I thank Him, our self-sufficiency goes out the window. We say, Lord, without You, I can't do anything. Thank You. Helps me to trust Him, even when I don't understand. It makes it possible for us to rejoice in the midst of trials. And I'll say here, lastly, this replaces our anxiety with His peace. His peace. The Greek word for peace there, it means literally to bind together. That's what peace is. That the peace of God. We have the peace with God because you're saved. If you're saved, there's no more enmity. You're not an enemy anymore. You have the peace with God, but so many don't have the peace of God in their hearts and walking around with that peace. Do you have the peace? It literally means binding together. We keep thanking God in the midst of heartache. We keep thanking God in the good seasons and the bad. And we realize very quickly the God of peace gives us His peace. Do you have it today? God is working, and I know you do. We have so much to be thankful for as we sing. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Look at all that God is doing today. Thank God. Take some time today and this week to say, God, thank You. Thank You for giving me my salvation. Thank You for letting me be a part of this church, Lord. Thank You for allowing me to know the Word of God. Thank You for giving me a Bible in my own language that I can read. God, thank You for my health. Thank You for my family, my children, my spouse, where we are. Nothing's perfect. There are problems. There's issues. We know that. We're not financially out of the woods yet. We've got a lot of things going, but God, thank You. Some of you grew up in a very rough home. Some of you went through a tremendous amount of things. You've shared this with me. You've gone through so many difficulties in your life, things that we can't even talk about. But you said, you know what? I choose to serve God. And by you being here today, I want to say thank you. Number one, you're not doing it for me. But I want to say God will bless you. You may be here alone by yourself. Your grandkids know that. Your children know that. Somebody, your neighbors, see you pull out of your driveway every Sunday morning. They know you're not going to Costco. They understand. I'm saying you stay faithful to God and you keep rejoicing, and there ought to be a distinguishing mark, a distinguishing characteristic. We're studying on Wednesday nights the Christian characteristics. One of them is what? Gratitude. Thankfulness. even in the midst of the most trying thing in your life, even in the midst of what you're going through. And I want to say this, you better buckle up and hold on, because here real soon, I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe this thing's going to be put to an end here. That man of sin will be revealed, and he will begin to work his unity of all nations together, and he will begin to organize an army that he thinks he's going to defeat the Lord with. But I love it. We just studied in our Bible Institute. Oh, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will defeat all armies. He will put everything to the end. He will take care of all the business. And we will get to enjoy him forever and ever. Do you know him? Today, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Please pardon me for such repetition, but I say this each week. Do you know him? I don't want you to leave one Sunday and say, that pastor never told me about Jesus. Do you know him? I stand before Jesus one day and he'll say, what about November 24th, Brother Tim? I think I talked about the gospel. I told them before they left. I told them. I let them know. They didn't know it was their last week on earth. They didn't know that week they'd be taken home. I told them about the Lord. I told them about salvation. Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior today? Again, would you allow me to take the Bible after our service here and show you how to be saved and let you know the wonderful news? Today, my friends, I'm so grateful for you. I thank God for each one of you. Every one of you, by the way, are such a blessing to me and my family personally. You really are. Every one of you constantly tell us, I have to get some of you to calm down a little bit because you're buttering me up too much. Because I'll go preach somewhere else in another church and nobody pats me on the back. Nobody says good message. Nobody says that was a great... No, I'm serious though. I thank God for all of you. You've been so faithful. I praise all of you. I pray for all of you individually, by the way. And I thank God for you. I really do. You've been a blessing, and I'm so thankful. But God, I don't believe God is done here yet. Do you? I believe we're just getting started. We still got to add on. We're going to add a 20,000 square foot building over here and our cemetery out back here. And we've got a lot to do, friends. We've got a lot to do. Brother Wes, we were joking the other day, and he said, Brother Tim, are you serious about those plots out back? We want to buy one. I said, well, if you, brother, come on, give me a check now, and we can get started. No. I told him, oh, no, the county won't let us do that. Amen. Anyways, would you stand with me? Enough talking. I apologize for rambling a little bit. Thank God for all of you. I'm praying for you this week. Again, please, if you do need anything, please let us know. That's why we're here. Never feel, I had one person tell me, Brother Tim, I wanted to ask you to pray for me, but I didn't want to bother you. Friends, that's why we're here, okay? Please, that's why we're here. Let us know if you need anything. Again, if you don't have anywhere to go this week, please let me know, and we'd love to have you. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your wonderful work of grace with us. Would you guide us and help us? Brother Adam, would you just play a few verses for us? And as the Lord has spoken to your heart today, would you take some time right where you are?